to the Great Loop Radio podcast, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. I'm Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today, we're going to talk about a really fabulous nonprofit that is doing a heck of a lot to clean up our inland rivers. And our guest will be Chad Pragracki. He is the founder of Living Lands and Waters, and we're going to talk all about the great work that his organization is doing. Before I bring Chad in, I do want to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Great Loop Yacht Sales, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with that business out of the way, I want to officially recognize Chad Pragracki. Thanks for joining us today, Chad.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's really cool to be on, and I love what you're doing. So, yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, and Tim and Diane from the boat Wilma May, for those of you who are regular listeners, they were on a few weeks ago talking about some of the volunteer projects that they have done during their loop. And they are the ones who suggested I reach out to Chad and try and get him on the podcast, because Chad founded Living Lands and Waters, who have done a phenomenal amount of work in getting our rivers cleaned up. So, Chad, tell us about yourself and how you came to found Living Lands and Waters.
So I grew up right above Lock and Dam 14 on the upper Mississippi River, just like a few houses up from there. And so the Mississippi River is like my backyard or front yard, whichever. And, fortunate enough to be raised on it. And when I was 15 years old, I got into commercial shell diving. So we called it clamming, or it's diving for mussel shells in the bottom of the river. It was kind of against my parents' wishes. But anyway, I did it with my older brother. And we worked anywhere from Fort Madison, Iowa, to Dubuque, Iowa, both river towns on the Mississippi River. It's about 150-mile stretch. And through diving for mussel shells, you're spending 8 to 10 hours a day on the bottom of the river. And, then you're selling those, just the shells. They all get sent overseas to, like, Japan and Australia. And they were sold for the culture pearl industry. And so in doing that, I crawled almost 150-mile stretch of the river, not every inch of it by any means, but most of it. I covered a lot over 6 summer seasons. And that's where I started to see how trashed the river was, and was camped out on all these different islands. And just the more I started to focus on how dirty the Mississippi River was, the more I wanted to clean it up. But as a teenager, I didn't really know how to get it going or anything. And then I saw a NASCAR race when I was going to college that gave me an idea, and thought, if a company will sponsor a race car, why wouldn't they sponsor a river cleanup? It's a good thing for the river. You know, we drink the water, and these communities are on it. And it's a Mississippi River, and it's super patriotic thing to do, is clean up, you know, America's rivers. And so I just thought, it's a no brainer. So I got one sponsor in 1997, that was Alcoa, which is right on the water. And they started with an A and started there. And so, yeah, here we are 26 years later, still at it.
Yeah, pretty amazing to be doing it for 26 years, which right there speaks to the success of what you're doing and the need for it. So tell us, you know, over the 26 years, I'm sure the organization has morphed a little bit. So what is Living Lands and Waters' mission today?
Yeah, the mission today is the same as it was, and that's helping to clean up America's rivers, and and then also just doing positive things for the world related to the environment. So that's kind of what we do. We clean up anything from a pop can to, you know, helping cut up a barge, a sunken barge, and things like that. So a wide range, and it's involved into quite the organization. Just equipment wise, we have 6 barges. We have 2 like classroom barges, then garbage barges, towboats, cranes, excavators, a fleet of work boats that we custom make. We go town to town, city to city, and do a lot of community engagement. We've removed over 14 million pounds of garbage out of mainly the Mississippi River and Ohio River. We focus on those, and the Illinois as well. So, but we also travel out east. We worked in New York City, and I mean, Philadelphia and all over, and yeah, just take it day by day and get as much as you can. So we've worked side by side with over 132,000 volunteers since we started, and it's been an amazing 26 years, 1,400 river cleanups. So yeah.
Truly astounding numbers there. 14 million pounds of trash is a pretty astounding number. So for our organization, members cruise a small part of the Mississippi, most of the Illinois River, and some will do a good portion of the Ohio. A lot of them do some of the Ohio. So you're right in our sweet spot for where all of our members are cruising. There's a lot of publicity, a lot of talk these days about ocean cleanup and cleaning plastics out of the ocean and things like that. And that seems to get a lot of the attention. I don't want to say that, our inland rivers are overlooked, but clearly your organization is, I think, one of the few that is really focusing on that. So what is it about the inland rivers, besides growing up there, that makes it so important to you to make sure that that trash gets picked up?
Well, certainly there is a lot of focus on the oceans, rightfully so, but 90% of all the trash that is focused on in the ocean comes out of rivers. Certainly, the Mississippi River, with the size, sheer size, and how many tributaries make it up, there's quite a bit coming out. So we're trying to be kind of proactive, I guess. It's weird because we're actually reactive because the trash is in the river. So. But we're also proactive of trying to keep it out of the oceans. And but I think when you think about it, like the rivers, we do drink the water. There's 18 million people get their daily drinking water directly out of the Mississippi River. So no matter if you stopped in your boat in a small town or a major city, whichever, you when you fill their boat up, it's probably coming out of the Mississippi River. So I think that's really important too. I also was a commercial fisherman. My brother's still a full-time commercial fisherman. And we eat the fish as well. So it's like, we eat the fish, drink the water. That's super important. And then just because the Mississippi River should be treated for what it is, and that's a 23, I think of it as a 2,300 mile corridor for wildlife. It's absolutely stunning and a beautiful place. And so, for all those reasons, I think that's good. Me personally, growing up on that, and then I want to throw a shout out for the Illinois, because I spent a lot of time shell diving on the Illinois River when the water would be really high on the Mississippi. I would go over there, and I worked all the way up in Lakin, all the way through Peoria, all the way down to Bath by Bass Chute. And I know a lot of your members will know where that is if they passed it. But so very familiar with that, and that's got a special place in my heart as well. But we work a lot on that river as well, from all the way down where the locks start, all the way down to Grafton. By the way, there is no better town to stop in my opinion, on the inland rivers that I've found, as far as something fun to do in a happening spot, than Grafton, Illinois, right where the Mississippi and the Illinois meet. It's
Grafton is
so
a cool
awesome.
place, yeah.
So anyway, just throwing it out there, it's a really fun place. So hopefully as many people listening will take time to spend a night or two there, and all that. But yeah, got off track. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Grafton is great. We spent a couple nights there while we were coming through and took the chairlift. It was summer, but we took the chairlift up and saw the resort up there. So pretty neat stuff. It was a great stop. So you mentioned a little bit, your fleet of vessels. I saw on your website that some of your crew lives and works aboard for up to 9 months of the year. Tell us more about that. What does that crew do for those 9 months? And are they traveling the entire length of the Mississippi during that time, or are you focusing on individual sections?
We don't go, well, we start out in Memphis, and then like last week we were in St. Louis, and have another big cleanup in St. Louis. So we do jump around. Our barges are slow, but we have a fleet of trucks and trailers, and so we'll pull different boats to different places. There's like, for instance, today there's a big cleanup in Havana, Illinois, on the Illinois River. So just living out there is just like, how it is. It's living on a boat is pretty cool. The barge seems really big in the summer, and then in the wintertime it seems very small because like you can't be outside, but it is a pretty big boat. It's a 150 foot by 32 foot. So it's a pretty big space, and it also has a classroom, which is also our living room as well. And probably like most boats, people kind of hang out, congregate towards the kitchen of it. But if you guys see our operation, and you can't miss it, it's the only barges that's like all graffitied up. Our towboat has like underwater scenes. And if you ever see us and just drive and just pull up and just say, "Hey, can we tie up?" It's like if we're parked somewhere, like people do that all the time. And I never really advertise it, but yeah, people are passing by and see us. Please stop by. We love meeting everybody and all that. So yeah.
Yeah, and we'd love to help too. The biggest thing that comes to mind when you start to talk about, 14 million pounds of trash removed from the waterways, what do you do with it once you've retrieved it from the water and the shoreline?
So for a long time, and great question. For a long time, we didn't have any choice. We just have to throw a lot of it away, and we have to pay for that. We spent a lot of money and a lot of time getting rid of this stuff. We bring it in, we sort out. So we put all the stuff, like, let's just back up, sorry. We go out, we take people out on these different islands and different places, and then we load the stuff up. We bring it back to the barge, and we unload it, and then we sort it out in different piles of plastics here. You got scrap metal here, your car's over here. I mean, there's all sorts of different all sizes and tires and what have you, but a lot of it is plastics. And so we were throwing out of the 14 million pounds, I don't know the exact number, but probably 10 million was garbage and plastics. And no one would take it, and for numerous reasons, geographic, whatever. We knew there could be a better way, and should be a better way of what we're doing. And so, trying to make the organization more efficient in the operation. And then the other thing that is we're less known for is we plant lots of trees. We started planting hardwood trees on the Upper Mississippi River's islands, and to create more food for wildlife. That was about, I don't know, 16 years ago, something like that. And we just 2 weeks ago planted our 2 millionth tree. And so mixing the hardwoods, trying to do the right thing for hardwoods, oaks in particular, trying to do something good for the rivers. My wife and I, which worked, she worked out there on the barge 19 years, we came up with, what if we make plastic pallets out of everything that we're pulling out of our rivers? And so that idea came 5 years ago. We put it in motion maybe a little less than 4 years ago, and we bought an old decrepit tractor factory and with the Mississippi right butting up to the factory here. And so we started making plastic pallets, and we have grinding operations. So we grind up everything now that we bring in, and then we put it into plastic pallets. So, if anybody knows anybody that buys pallets and wants to get away from wood, or they're currently buying plastic pallets, we'd love to talk to them. We've got a great product, and it's very inexpensive, and something new for us. But it's we're currently in operation, and it's been a quite the adventure. But my wife moved off the barge, unfortunately. And so she runs the plant with two other ladies. So it's woman owned and woman run. And she's the brains. So yeah.
Well, and honestly, from looking at your website, that's one of the things I really love about your story and your organization is you're very focused on your mission of cleaning up the rivers, but it goes beyond that because as you're removing all these plastics and not wanting just to send them to a landfill, you have found a very creative solution to what to do with them rather than pay somebody to take them and then they sit in a landfill forever. So the plastic pallets is a fabulous idea. I wish you huge success with that. I want to take just a quick minute and play a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, I want to talk specifically how loopers can get involved in this great effort. So we'll be back in a moment.
Curtis Stokes and Associates is a yacht brokerage company that specializes in great loop capable boats. Curtis Stokes is a supporter of AGLCA at the Admiral level. If you're looking to buy or sell a great loop veteran from a trusted and knowledgeable broker, visit the company on the web at curtisstokes.net, email curtisstokes@curtisstokes.net, or call 954-684-0218.
Pebble Isle Marina is the perfect stop for AGLCA members to enjoy docktails, Conveniently located in a sheltered harbor on the Tennessee River at mile marker 96. The marina's 600 plus feet of transient dockage offers slips convenient to all amenities and can accommodate boats of all styles and sizes up to 100 feet in length. Our fuel dock offers ethanol-free gas and high-speed diesel pumps with a ship store for supplies. Our floating seasonal restaurant offers beautiful views of Kentucky Lake from the patio. Check out the Pebble Isle website for details of special offers for AGLCA members. We're back on the Great Loop Radio podcast. Today we're talking to Chad Pragracki. He is the founder of Living Lands and Waters, which is just doing a fabulous job of helping to clean up our inland rivers, which is, of course, waterways that loopers are cruising on every day. So we appreciate the efforts. Loopers are, in general, a group who really likes to give back. So, you've talked about these water cleanups. How can loopers get involved?
I mean, they can look at our website, try to coordinate something with us if our equipment is on the Mississippi River. And actually, we will have a barge that's staying full time. We just opened a new classroom. Basically, you stop by. If you see our barge there and want to park on it, park on it. It's fine. We're good with it. Most of the time, unless we're going to move or something. But and then we're doing cleanups all the time. So if you want to coordinate it or however, I'm all about it. We just opened a new classroom. That's right now in near Davenport, Iowa, or right around Lochinam 15 there, East Moline, Illinois. But it's going to move to St. Louis for the late season in 2024 here. So, and then it'll be in Memphis after that, and then it'll be back up in St. Paul and all around. But anyway, just as far as like if you see us, like we'd love to work with you for sure.
So, I know you work with groups who want to, spend a day cleaning up the river. I know some local groups. Are there opportunities for, individual boats that might happen to be passing through to get involved, in something that might be happening in the area if they see one of your barges?
I mean, just check our website out, livinglandsandwaters.org, and that's livinglandsandwaters.org, and see what we're up to. Sometimes we're doing events and they're not posted, but most of them are posted. And but we'd love to meet you. I've never met a looper that's not cool and has a unique story. And seriously, it's a unique, these are adventurous people that
Absolutely.
it's like typically we're worked really hard in life and are like, hey, I'm doing this, and it's an adventure. And so that's part of the joy of what we do. We get to meet lots and lots of people, and the loopers to me are like always pretty interesting, pretty cool people, got their own stories, but are always really genuinely very appreciative for what we're doing. And it's an environmental cause, certainly clean up rivers, but we really do pride ourselves on hard work and the results that we produce. And so we'd love to work with anybody that comes our way.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. We appreciate what you do. Before we started recording, I was congratulating Chad and thanking him for what he does. He's a humble guy and really attributed it to his team. How many are on your team that's part of staff, Chad?
I think there's 14 right now, 14. 15 right now, yeah.
And then you said it's thousands of volunteers over the years.
Yeah, thousands of volunteers. Like that's just it's awesome. The name of one of our barges is Teamwork. And I think that's the best name that sums up everything that we do, how you get the river clean and then how you keep it clean. And just we like the barge companies give our organization rides, and then sometimes if we need like a mechanic or something. I mean, they just, they give us rides. We don't have to use a captain or just, there's actually barges being moved by some other company right now. We're kind of like hitchhikers with a huge, heavy backpack. So,
Well, I love that that works out. I also know, as I said, you're a humble guy, but the organization, but also you personally have won some pretty prestigious awards. Are there any of those you'd like to highlight for us?
I mean, I always I mean, awards are just like, I'm on your podcast telling the story, but it truly is like, it's really about the teamwork. And so I have won a bunch of awards, or we have won a bunch of awards. And so my name's on them, most of them, but it's really just a lot of different people. But like the CNN Hero Award and Jefferson Award and the Points of Light. I mean, just all sorts of different things. But it goes, just what I really think of awards is like people just appreciate the work, you know, and appreciate what you do. And again, I get a lot of the attention, but it's a fantastic organization with great people and something that is people care about, and that's awesome, you know.
Yeah. Well, and you can add me to the fans. And I know there are a bunch of loopers out there who are super appreciative. They may not have known that you were there or what you were doing, but hopefully they will know now. And thank you for all you're doing. We appreciate you spending, I know you're a busy guy too. So thank you for spending a few minutes with us today and sharing the details of Living Lands and Waters. So again, the website is livinglandsandwaters.org. I encourage everybody to visit it and to support the effort because we all need these waterways to stay clean. So Chad, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, and safe travels, and thanks so much for having me on here.
You are so welcome. And thanks to everyone who's watched or listened today. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Great Loop Radio podcast. Until then, safe travels.